Might need to come down volume just a little bit, Abraham. Just a little bit, thanks. Okay, let's pray. Come before the word of God. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your truth. Lord, we thank you that you have not left us as we were, and you don't even leave us as we are. Lord, your heart's desire, in fact, more than that, your determination, Lord, is to sanctify us by your word. Father, we agree with your desire, Father, with what you have for us. And we come today and we say, Lord, we will leave different than how we come. Father, we say that when we go home, we will have been expanded. We will have had a little corner of our life addressed. Father, we pray that your word will shine a light and that we will look and we will embrace, Father, what you have for us. We thank you, Lord, because of your great love for us. You don't leave us as we were or as we are, but you sanctify us by your truth, and your word is truth. So, Lord, we say, here I am. Have your way today. Lord, here we are. Have your way in us today. Bless us, strengthen us, equip us. Let your word bring about the person you've called us to be. The world has a desire for us. Why should we give in to that? We won't. Father, the enemy has a goal for us. Why should we say, let it be? We will not. But Father, you have a plan, and Father, indeed, you have a perfection for us. So we say, Lord, yes, it shall be in Jesus' name. So we thank you, Holy Spirit. Today, take your word, and may it strengthen us. May it bear much fruit in our heart. We declare it will fall on good soil. It will not be choked. It will not be stolen, but it will bear much fruit to your glory. And what a joy we have, because we remember former times, and those former times were not good. But you have rescued us. You have saved us. And Lord, you have more for us. So we say yes, Lord, to everything you have for us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I was telling a friend last night that today we're talking on the Word of God, and I said, it's such a joy. What a wonderful joy and privilege to talk about the Word. So as you can see, we have quite a bit to go through today. If you can please open up your bulletin as we look at our second session on the Word of God. Just as a quick recap, last week there were two key things I wanted us to take away. First one is, how are you hearing? And remember very quickly, we said that the Word of God exists, but men have taken it and distorted it. The enemy has taken it and tried to get Jesus to misuse it. We know the enemy's tricks, and he still continues in them. So how are you hearing the Word of God? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith doesn't come by hearing a bad report. So faith is hearing the Word of God. We need to hear it as God speaks to us. And that means we need to look at our life, and we need to remove every obstacle and hindrance that gets between us and the Word of God. Every selfish hindrance, every doctrine of demons, everything like that, so that all is left, praise God, is the Holy Spirit. And he will take the truth of God and make it alive to us. And I know we still sit down, and I know this happens to you, it happens to me, and I'll be reading the Word of God, and I will have read a passage for years, and I will read it, and God will open it up to me in a special way it hasn't been opened before. And my life is blessed. So it is amazing when you look at the Word of God, how wonderful it is. So we need to make sure that the Lord is that filter, or the Lord is the one speaking to us. And the second one, we looked at where Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, but don't do what I say? And he likened it to a man who built his house on the rock, as someone who heard and obeyed, and someone who built his house just on the sand, as someone who heard and didn't do what Jesus said. So what will it benefit us to know the Word of God inside out and yet not follow it? So that's our life pursuit. That's what we do. So today, we're going to look at the Word of God, God making himself and his will known to us. And there are two terms used when we talk about the revelation of God. And one is, do you know what the first one is? It's general revelation. The second one is special revelation. And so a lot of scholars, they've come up with these kind of categories. And it would either fit into a general revelation of God or a special revelation of God. So general revelation refers to the general truths that mankind can learn about God through nature and the world around them. So there's scriptures you're familiar with, songs even that have been written, and it says the heavens declare the glory of God. Think about that for a minute. That's not something someone came up with. That's actually from the Word of God in Psalm 19. So the heavens declare the glory of God. How do the heavens declare the glory of God? Anyone at all? How do the heavens declare the glory of God? If we stop and listen, what do we hear? How do the heavens declare the glory of God? This is the word of God. This is what it says. How do the heavens declare the glory of God? I'm not sure? Okay. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, now this is just to capture it, it says, since creation, God's qualities, or another translation says, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen. And it goes on to say that so that all humanity is without excuse. I don't know about you, but if I'm driving along and I see a plane flying, you know the big planes? If I'm driving along and I see a big plane, do you know it still comes to my head? That's amazing. You look at that huge big thing that's metal and it flies. And you know, I've seen planes many times, I've been on a plane. But you know, when I see these planes, I say, it is amazing that something that big, you know, and wings move like this, you know, slightly, and yet it gets up in the air and it lands. It's an amazing thing. You know, people look at the stars. They look at these planets. There's been a series running on the ABC, which is Voyage to the Planets. And they talk. These are people, and I don't know if they believe in God, but they talk about these planets in an incredible awe and wonderment. You know, they talk about, I won't go into it all now, but it's just when they talk about the terrain, when they talk about what the planets are made up of, like some of them are just great big gas balls, and they just say, it's just amazing, it's incredible. And the more we learn about nature, because it doesn't have to be going so out to space, the more we look at even our own body. A friend of mine went and did a course for a couple of years, and it was all about the human body and everything, and he's not a Christian, but he said to me, how did this happen? It is amazing. It is wonderful. When a child is conceived and grows, you know, like I look at Matthew, he's 10 months old now, he's got teeth. Look at these hard teeth. Where did Matthew come from? You know, you look at how we started and what we grow into, and you look and you cannot help but look and say, this is wonderful, this is amazing. God designed the world this way to actually cry out and point to something greater than us. You know, if all that life was us drawing on paper with crayons, we'd go, look at what I did. But when you look around at the complexities, you know, you look at, like, what is there, 6,000 types of beetles in the world. You look at giraffes. You look at elephants. You know, and the more they learn about it, you know, when, like, an elephant dies and the others come and they put their foot on it, you know, on the elephant that dies, and they hear the heartbeat and the way they sense through their pads. And you look at how we're created. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. So general revelation is really about nature and the universe pointing to God and declaring the glory and wonder of God, because man can't do this. The enemy can't do what is done around us, but God did it. So that is general revelation. Special revelation refers to the more specific truths that can be known about God through the realm of the supernatural. So this is when the revelation of God becomes more special or specific. So there are several ways we've got here. Physically, in Genesis chapter 3:8, perhaps someone can turn there. God reveals himself specifically in dreams, Genesis 28:12, if someone could turn there. In visions, God has revealed himself, Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, if someone could please get that scripture. And also, of course, in Jesus Christ, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 7, if someone could turn to that. And then in the Word of God, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 2, if someone could please turn there. So could we have a reader, please, physically, who can read Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, please? Thank you. So God was in the garden with Adam and Eve, walking and talking with them. So God actually revealed himself physically there. There are other scriptures there we can also see. We won't look at them, but you can refer to them for later. In dreams, who can read out Genesis 28? And the next verse? Verse 13? Thank you very much. So in dreams, God revealed himself, and actually he himself was in the dream. Okay, in visions, Genesis 15, please. Genesis So in a vision, God revealed himself. Thank you. Philippians chapter 2 in Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 7. It's a passage you probably know by heart. What a wonderful passage. Jesus being in the very form of God. And so we see that he came and made himself as one of us. And lastly, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 2. In the Word of God, in the Scriptures. Okay, so that's a really important passage when we look at the Word of God, because God said in a revelation that came to Jeremiah, God told him things, but God said, write this down. So it's an important scripture for us to remember. So God revealed himself in these different ways. We're going to look, as we're doing this study on the Word of God, we're going to look now more into some of the scriptures on the revelation of God in the Word of God. Beginning with Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, just we know that scripture very well, but it's so important we just pause on a couple of points on it. The word of God is living and powerful. If I pick up the paper and I read it, is that paper, that newspaper, the Sunday Times or whatever paper is out today, if I pick that up, it's got words on it. Those words are not living. They might have some power in it, but it is not like the Word of God. In fact, there is nothing like the Word of God that is living and powerful. And when you think and you know that the Word of God is living and powerful, just want you to cast your mind over to the second part of the scripture, because it says that the Word of God is a discerner. Okay, the Word of God is a discerner. Now, what is a discerner? What's a discerner? What does it mean to discern something? Can this chair discern something? Can it? No. Can this carpet discern something? No. Can Pastor John discern something? Yes. Can the brick wall discern something? No. These balloons? No. Can you? Yes. To discern something requires something beyond just something created. It requires a level of intelligence. It requires the ability to think and process. It requires the ability, like a parent could have kids come in and say, this one did this, and this one said, no, this one did that. And what does the parent do? Doot, 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 bing, 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 bing. So isn't that discernment? Don't you do that? I do it at school. Teachers are there and the kids will come and there'll be a story going on. And you see the parent like this and that, and then they'll ask a question. And then the answer comes back and the teacher goes, okay, and deals with it. Discernment. Now, the Bible says the Word of God discerns. So how can the Word of God just be something that is just like a newspaper? No, there's something special about the Word of God. Next week we're going to get into it, which will be really lovely, but the Word of God is more than just paper, and it's more than just power that's spoken out. The Word of God has an ability within itself to think, to work out things, to reason, and to know. So how can that be? Next week we cover a lot of that. Okay, so the Word of God is incredibly special. Okay, onto our next part. We see that from the beginning God spoke. And when I was thinking about this, we could have been a group of people who didn't speak. God made us. When the Beatles are together, do they speak? You know, they're on the ground crawling around. Do they speak? They don't, do they? When the whales are in the ocean, how do they communicate? Right, okay. Thank you, that's my whale song. Don't they? They sing these songs and they communicate through song. okay? You can't hear a word specifically, but there's tunes and noises, right? When monkeys are together, how do they communicate? Okay? And I know all these things because we have all these books at home. So I've become very, well, much better at animal noises. We often laugh at one another because we read books to Matthew and the monkeys make sounds. But they make all these things. So when God established order and started to create things, God could have done anything. And none of those things would have been like blasphemous or sacrilegious. God could have said, here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to paint things. God could have said, here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to think it. But God set up a system which involved speaking. And we have the ability to speak. And we are, while there are parrots who can mimic and there are, you know, these sorts of things that exist in very small forms around the world, we are created in the image of God with that similar capacity. So we see from the beginning God spoke, and we need to take note of that. Just where we look here, just a quick overview of Genesis, we see God spoke for the purpose of creating things. Let there be light, God said. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, God said. Let the waters under the heavens be gathered to one place. Now, when you look around us at the world created, and you think God said it, and this is how it happened. Genesis 1:11, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass. So the earth brought forth grass. Verse 14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens. So the stars, the planets, all that we see in the night sky and beyond that. Verse 20, then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures. Verse 24 had me thinking, because God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind. And you keep reading on there, and God said, let everything bring forth after its kind. Do you know a giraffe doesn't give birth to an elephant? And of course, we don't think that will happen, but why? Why is that the case? Because God separated in gene and in the creation of all these beings that they would produce after their own kind. And of course, the same with us, the same with seeds. So it's, why is it this way? It's because God purposed it this way and God announced it. For the purpose of communion and fellowship, verse 26, who was God speaking to when he said, let us make man in our image? Who are we made in the image of? Made in the image of God. So people often, again, it's another verse, people say there's no Trinity in the Bible. Well, the word Trinity isn't there, but who's God speaking to when we look at all these different passages? So we see the Godhead revealed. For the purpose of communion, fellowship, and instruction, because God spoke to man, and he said, see, I have given you every herb and that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Who is the you? In Genesis chapter 1, who is God speaking to in verse 29? He's speaking to man. He's speaking to Adam. So it's just really important when we look at the Word of God. This is the Word of God, and God is speaking to Adam here. And what's God speaking to him for what purpose? Why is God speaking to Adam? What do you think? Have a look at that verse. You've read it before. God turns to Adam and God says, this is yours and this is yours and this is yours. Why is God saying that? Do you think Adam would get hungry? Do you think Adam's going to get hungry? He'll be hungry one day. In fact, probably before the end of the day, Adam will be hungry. And so what's he going to do? Sand? Pick it up and eat the sand. So why has God revealed his word to Adam here? Because God cares for Adam, because God knows what Adam needs. So what does God do? Think of this. In a sinless existence, God says to Adam, I'm going to give you instructions that are going to help you. Okay, now we don't read all what's going on, that Adam's getting hungry, and so he's thinking, what can I eat? And he looks over and there's bananas or whatever. But, see, God gives us his word when we look at this passage to instruct us. So it's very important. And I know we know these things, but it's good for us to return to these foundations. And we see in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it you shall surely die. So we see here God is giving Adam a warning. Again, it's an instruction, but it's a warning about something bad. So the word of God comes in instruction towards good, and away from bad. So God created us and spoke to us, then man sinned and became separated from God. God would then make himself known to someone by revealing himself in one of the ways we previously spoke about. These people then passed on the revelation of God through oral tradition. So this was a big part of the culture, which is something we don't so much have nowadays. We sit down and enjoy TV, perhaps. in generations gone by, people sat around a radio and listened to radio shows. But in times gone by, what would they do? Nighttime would come, fire would come on, and they would sit around and they would continue to tell stories. There was no writing implements, there weren't the books, so what was known from one generation passed on to the next through stories. And the kids would rehearse the stories and it would pass on to their kids. Then we went from an oral tradition to a written one. So when God called Moses and delivered his people from Egypt, God wanted Moses to do something specific. He wanted Moses to write down the word of God. Let me just go through some of these scriptures because our time is running away. Exodus 17:14. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua. In Exodus 24:3-4, Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said we will do. Verse 4, and Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. Okay, so where do we have all this coming from? This is where. See, God spoke to people, but then a time came where God said, now I want you to write it. Don't just speak it out to people, also write it. Again in Exodus 24, a few verses on, verse 7 and 8, then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And he said, all the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people and said, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according with all these words. Exodus 34, then the Lord said to Moses, write these words, for according to the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. Deuteronomy 31:9. So Moses wrote this law and delivered it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who bore the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord, and all the elders in Israel. So, you know, we have the beginning of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Okay, written by Moses. And we see, how did that come about? It's because God then took us to mankind to a new level where his word was not just oral tradition, passed on, tell your children these things, but it was also now written down. Jeremiah 23:28-32. So we see in this point that God is doing this not just with Moses, but with the men and with the people that he calls. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets who... says the Lord, who steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who use their tongues and say, he says. Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. Jeremiah 30:1-3. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back from captivity my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. So can we see here in a couple of these examples that God is now moving mankind to say, write down what I've said. So much so that in a time where there were no copiers like we know them today, a profession arose called scribes. And what's a scribe? Scribe, someone who would write. In fact, they would copy it out. And this was a profession, quite a dignified profession to get into. If you had the ability to write and copy out, then that was quite an amazing thing for your life. And when they did this, they had all sorts of systems in place where they would actually add up a line of a script and work out its numerical value, and they would compare copies and copies. So that's a whole other thing, but it's certainly amazing that at this time God said, now I want you to be writing the word of God down. And we see carried on into the New Testament, this continued. Luke 1:1-4. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, O most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of the things in which you were instructed. So God, and we know this from the old, but we see also in the new, that God entrusted his word to faithful people. We look at the example in Jeremiah. God notices when people, in fact, are not faithful with his word. But he entrusts it to faithful people. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "But we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, and so we speak, not as pleasing to men, but God who tests our hearts." And a passage you know very well in 1 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. How do you present yourself? How do you present yourself as a worker approved before God? How do you present yourself as a worker approved before God? It says it right here. It's not a trick question. You handle the word of God accurately. Now compare that with the passage we read earlier when God looked at the prophets who were going around stealing the word from other prophets. And God said, that's not it. And I'm against them. So these people were actually doing it for their own profit and they were not accurately handling the word of God. So we're approved to God as workers who do not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing or correctly handling the word of truth. Our last part here, just as we finish up Sunday school, we see that God gave his word for a purpose. Again, a passage you know very well. Would someone like to read that? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. So there's four things just want to quickly draw our attention to in that passage in 2 Timothy 3:16. We see that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. So when we look at doctrine is to us, teaching or instruction, doctrine is also what a person holds to be true. So the word of God is profitable. Now if you refute something, it's not bad. In fact, even a rebuke is not bad. A rebuke might feel bad, but, you know, I've been rebuked, and it saved me. I spoke to a man this week about something was in his life, and I just addressed it gently, and I said, just this and this and this. And I didn't hear from him for a day or two. This was by email. Came back and said, actually, that is correct, what you're saying, and so on. Now, that's a person who received something against what he was doing, in line with the Word of God, and he received it, and it came back. And I read this scripture, and I see the Word of God profited his life right then. Now, he could have turned around and said, how dare you address me and think that I need someone to be corrected? But that's not his heart. And may that not be my heart ever and your heart, because I don't know everything. Like I was saying and praying at the very beginning, I thank God he loves me so much, he didn't leave me where I was. And where I was, and if you think where you were, probably wasn't a good place. Definitely for me, horrible, terrible place. He also loves me so much, he doesn't leave me where I am today. You know, and where I am today is different to where I was this time last year, and probably the same for you. And it should be, because we are being transformed. What's that passage we know so well from 2 Corinthians 3:18? It says, we all, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being changed into that same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. And I thank God, because today if I have a problem, I pray. 20 years ago, if I had a problem, I might have fought. For you, you could tell similar stories. Maybe something would have happened at work and you would have got political and gossiped and done things, but you became a Christian or you grew in your walk with God and you handle things differently now. So, I mean, thank God that it's not where we were and it's not where we are. God doesn't leave us in either of those places, but he brings us into what he's got for us in the future. And life is better, even in the midst of persecution and all the horrible stuff. You know, to put your head down on your pillow at night and smile and thank the Lord, even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of troubles and trials, that's something we can do that we couldn't always do. So thank God for that. So we're people who can receive a reproof. Correction. Correction is to be restored to an upright or right state. And it's also an improvement in life and character. So, correction. The Word of God is profitable for correction, to be restored to an upright or right state. If you're on a boat and it's not in an upright state, do you want to stay on it? If I'm in myself and I'm not in an upright state, do I want to stay in it? Not before the Lord, because it's not going to end well. So, thank God that His Word corrects us And if the boat is tipped over upside down, may God quickly come and correct us and turn us the right way up. And lastly, the word of God is profitable for instruction in righteousness. So instruction, and this is just interesting, so I put the whole definition in here. The whole training and education of children, which relates to the cultivation of mind and morals, and employs for this purpose commands and admonitions, reproof and punishment. It also includes the training and care of the body. The second application of this word throughout the Bible is whatever in adults also cultivates the soul, especially by correcting mistakes and curbing passions. And an extension of that is instruction which aims at increasing virtue. Instruction can also be chastisement and chastening of the evils which God visits upon men for their amendment. Main part there is that the word of God as an instruction to us is about informing us towards a right way of living, and that we see picked up particularly in the next word, in righteousness, which is in a broad sense the state of him as he ought to be. And that's the thing. Do you know, if you and I were born and were the age of 10 and we were the very character of Jesus, would we need to be corrected? I wouldn't need to be corrected. You wouldn't need to be corrected, because God would look and he'd find no fault in us. But that's not the world we live in. The world we live in is fallen. Our parents loved us and we honor them, but they made mistakes, or they did things wrong, or things carried through. And the world we lived in, the neighborhood we were in, the places we worked at, the schools we went to, all these things pressed in around us. So we learnt bad words. We learnt bad concepts. So we were not, unfortunately, in the world as God intended us to be. And so the return to righteousness is really returning us to the state as we ought to be. And it is also the condition acceptable to God. And you can see the rest of the definition there. So thank God for the word of God. It's a really powerful, precious, important thing. Any thoughts or comments on today's teaching on the Word of God? No? Okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word. Father, just to read that scripture. Lord, you said, is not my word like a fire and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Father, your word is not a small thing. Your word is not a light thing. Father, your word is powerful. With it, you created the worlds. With it, you created us. Father, with it, you give us instruction and correction. Father, with it, you tell us how to walk forward in life and how to attain all that you have for us. With it, you use us to transform us to be the people you've called us to be. Father, I pray, Lord, that always, as a foundation in our life, we will be people who hear your word, and having heard it, Lord, we will act upon it. We will do it. We will be yes and amen to all that you say. Father, may your word bear much fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.